Recordings are started.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the first meeting of the IRT for the IGO NGO Identifiers Protection Policy Implementation on Tuesday, 22nd September 2015. My name is Fabien Bessamieux. I'm a Senior Registry Services Engagement Manager with the Global Domain Division of ICANN. I will be leading this policy implementation with the support of a cross-functional team of other ICANN staff members from several departments, GDD, compliance, and some of whom will be attending our meeting today. Before we jump into our agenda and discussion, I would like to remind you that the meeting is recorded and will be transcribed. For the purpose of the transcript, please do not forget to state your name when you are speaking. When you're not speaking, please make sure your line is muted. And finally, if at any time during the call you would like to get into the queue, please raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room. So now move on to our agenda for today. Before we get into the substance of our discussion, we will start with a rapid roll call, and we'll take advantage of that roll call to allow some introductions for people who would like to, and then we'll move on to our agenda as we had communicated last week. So let's start with the a quick introduction to staff who are on the call today. So I'm Fabien Bessamieux again. I've given you a quick presentation of myself. So let me look at who is with us today. So we have Antonietta Mangiacotti, who is with our Operation and Policy Research team. We have Francisco Arias, who's our Director of Technical Services. We have Mary Wong and Steve Chan from the Policy team. So let me now look at who we have from the volunteers for our implementation review team. So I see we have Brian Simboic. Would you like to say a few words, Brian?
Sure. Thanks very much, Fabien. This is Brian Simboic. I'm Associate Counsel at Public Interest Registry, and I'm looking forward to try and contribute in any way I can.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We have Laurie Schulman as well. Laurie, would you like to say a few words? So, Laurie, you seem to be having issues with your line. I see that you're typing. We'll definitely be looking forward to your comments. I see that, so let me move on and we'll come back to your comments in the chat. Laurie? Oh, you're Senior Director of Internal Policy for the INTA. And INTA, sorry. Okay, so a member of IPC, thank you very much. We also have Peter Reinfort. Would you like to say a few words, Peter?
Hello. Heather Reinfort here. I'm also co-chair with Phil Corbin at the INGO Access to Creative Rights Protection Mechanisms Working Group, so it will be very interesting to look at this topic on another level. And although my normal day-to-day work is at the Swedish patent law firm Phoenix Legal, in IPC I'm representing DICPI, the International Federation of Intellectual Property Attorneys. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Peter. And I believe we have Valeria Sherman with us as well. Would you like to say a few words, Valeria? Okay, Valeria seems to experiencing trouble as well for dialing in. Let us know if you need any assistance. I'm sure we can help you get you in. And so you're an associate attorney with Smith, Gamble, and Russell. Okay. Excellent. So thank you very much. I think we've listed everyone on the call. Please let me know if I've forgotten anybody in this roll call and introductions.
Fabian, it's Jim Bykoff.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. I don't know why my name didn't come up. I'm on a phone line, not on the Adobe. So
exactly. Thank you.
I'm a partner in Smith, Gambrell, and Russell. Val's working on my team, and I think David Heasley of our firm had also volunteered, but he has moved over to become a judge, and Bruce McDonald is now part of our team. So the three of us will participate as volunteers. And I should say that we're representing the IPC, the Intellectual Property Constituency, but also we represent the International Olympic Committee, and I have served on the past PDPs involving IGO, INGO, curative rights with Petter and Phil. I also have served on the previous IOC Red Cross group that was exploring additional protections some years ago, and we're looking forward to working with you in this effort.
Thank you very much, Jim. She's very helpful, and we appreciate your time and commitment to this matter. Is there anybody else on the line that I'm not seeing in the Adobe Connect? Okay, I'm not hearing any voices, not seeing any hands raised in the Adobe chat, so let's move on to our agenda. Thank you very much. Thank you all for your presentations. So our turn to provide a bit of presentation, especially in terms of our approach to the implementation. As you are certainly aware, we are working based on a resolution by the ICANN board of April 2014, which you may recall adopted some of the recommendations that did not conflict with GAC advice, for which it directed the president and CEO to develop an implementation plan. And while the board is requesting additional time to work on the recommendations that were differing or that were inconsistent with GAC advice. So the framework really of our policy implementation right now is those recommendations that were not inconsistent with GAC advice, and we will look into exactly what this means. Please feel free to interrupt at any point in time if you'd like to comment or ask a question. Just use the hand feature in the Adobe Connect. So as you may have seen from the community workspace we have created for this implementation, we have developed a summary table of the various recommendations and to guide us into what is currently in the scope of the implementation and what is still being reconciled under the leadership of the board and the NGPC. So I'm going to show very quickly a screenshot of that page that is linked on these slides, which you will find after this meeting on our workspace. So let me switch documents here. So so this is the screenshot of the top of our page where we've built this table that I mentioned with a color code. The green is for recommendations that have been adopted by the board, which are not inconsistent with GAC advice, and which we will work to implement. What's in red are those recommendations that are that have not been adopted because they're not they weren't consistent with GAC advice, and those are marked in red. We will not be able to include those in the implementation until there is a an adoption of those by the board. So let me scroll down to our entire table so that we can review those various recommendations. As you can see on the table, we have four main categories that are so for each of those organizations, those types of organizations for which there will be identifiers protected. So if we start with the Red Cross Red Crescent movement, as you can see, we will work to implement top-level and second-level protections for the Scope 1 identifiers, which are the four names, Red Cross, Red Crescent, Red Crystal, Red Lion, and Sun in the UN 6 languages. And for as far as Scope 2 identifiers, those are still being reconciled between GNSO recommendations and GAC advice. So they will not be part of our current work, but hopefully we can include them later when those are adopted. As far as the IOC, we will be working to implement top-level and second-level protections for the Olympic and Olympiad full names in UN 6 plus three other languages. For IGOs, we will be working to implement protections of the Scope 1 identifiers. And as far as the Scope 2 identifiers, that is the acronyms, that again is being reconciled and will not yet be part of our current work, but if we, again, we will be able to get to that once those recommendations are reconciled and adopted by the board. And finally, for INGOs, we will be working to implement those top-level and second-level protections that have been recommended for the full names that are listed on the general and consultative lists of the ECOSOC. So we've tried to, we've designed this table to help us really distinguish what are the recommendations that we can already implement and those that we can't. And we may need to keep the distinction in mind when we approach our work. Are there any comments or questions on this overview of the scope of our implementation? I will pause here for a second and let anybody who would like to comment or ask a question. Lori, would you like to go ahead? Lori, did I see your hand raised? We can hear you typing, Lori, I think, but we haven't been able to hear you speaking.
Oh, good. I prefer that you hear me speaking. I'm using a new headset, and it's been a little challenging today. I apologize. I do have a question. Being a member of the current working group, I'm a little confused about the implementation of the TAF, because should we be waiting for a report from our working group, and should all of these things be synced up? I'm a little concerned that they're not aligned at the moment, unless I misunderstand the task.
Lori, can you hear me?
Yes.
I apologize. You were very hard to hear. I'm not sure I could understand what you said. Could you try again, maybe a bit more slowly? I think we're getting noise on your line.
Okay, I will type.
Okay, thanks. We'll read your question. Thank you.
Thank you.
While Lori is typing, please feel free to raise your hand if you have a comment or question.
Fabian, it's Jim Bykov. We're getting a lot of interference on the line.
I think it's my bad, Mike.
Thank you. Jim, is this better?
Yes, much better.
Excellent. So, Lori in the chat is saying that she's concerned that the work of this group and the work of the current working group are not aligned. I'm not exactly sure. Can you be more specific as to what you refer to by the current working group? Are you talking about the working group on the curative rights mechanism? I'm waiting until I can read what Lori is currently typing. So I understand your question is, how is the work of this implementation aligned with the current work in the PDP Working Group on Creative Rights Mechanism? Is that your question, Lori? Can you confirm? Okay, assuming this was your question, Lori, let me try to answer by first saying that here we're working to implement recommendations for protections that are preventive in a sense, which would be protections at the top and second level of the DNS for those organizations. Where the current working group, the PDP working group, is working on creative rights mechanism for resolving issues once names are reserved. And I'm sure you're very aware of the distinction between the fact that here we're working on an implementation while the current working group is working on policy developments. I see that you're raising your hand. Lori, would you like to comment or respond? Okay, maybe you were trying to re-enter the room. Okay. So does that make sense to everybody? Are there any comments on these questions or additional remarks from our policy colleagues, maybe? Mary, would you like to go ahead?
Sure. Hi, everybody. This is Mary from the Policy Department, and thanks for your question, Lori. I think I'll probably just pretty much repeat what Fabienne has said. I think that the central distinction here is that this implementation team is really looking to advise the staff on implementing those recommendations that are already adopted by the ICANN board in the resolution that Fabienne showed on screen a while ago. So in other words, it's not about the curative rights piece of it. And obviously the fact that Steve and I are supporting Fabienne on this team means that any sort of potential overlap or any sort of potential spillover concerns that might impact policy work on the curative rights side, it would be Steve and my role to bring that back to the working group and the GNSO. So hopefully that helps.
Peter, would you like to make some comments?
Thanks, Peter, for that. Speaking on behalf of the other working group we talked about and the work that has been done there and the problems in getting inputs and replies from ideas. I think that we can have, even if we are working on more or less the same or similar topics from two different views, the protection, speaking generally, of IGOs and INGOs. I think it could be good to find places where we can cooperate in information. But one question I have is, when we talk about the topic, again, in generally, about the protections for IGOs and INGOs, are there any other formal or informal working group that, besides these two that has now been mentioned, that is also working with this topic from some kind of input of use at the same time? It would be good to have a full view on what's going on. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. Mary, would you like to give us a sense of the perspective on all the work that's ongoing right now on this topic?
Sure. Thanks, Fabian, and thanks, Peter. I guess maybe I'm not really understanding the question. I apologize, Peter, because when you asked about other groups, I'm not quite sure what you meant, and maybe I just didn't catch what you actually said at the end. In terms of the ICANN groups that's working on these issues, obviously we have this IRT, which is implementing the work of the earlier GNSO-PDP working group that Jim and others participated in. And then there's the Curative Rights Working Group that you co-chair, which, you know, when it comes up with its recommendations, if those are adopted by the board, you know, would go into the IRT phase as well. And then finally, of course, there's the outstanding recommendations from the first PDP that have not yet been adopted by the ICANN board that this IRT is not dealing with at the moment. Those clearly still need to be resolved as between the board, that is the NGPC, and the GNSO. So I suppose that means that's three pieces that sort of align in totality, but that are either in the hands of different parts of ICANN groups or are at different stages. Does that help?
Yes, thanks. That's exactly what I asked for. Thanks.
Yeah, this is Jim Bykov. I think Mary has stated it very succinctly. I think that really resolves that question.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mary. Thank you, Peter and Jim. And I hear that, I read that Lori may not be able to speak with us, so that's going to be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Lori, did you want to say something, maybe?
No, I just wanted to say thank you. Can you hear me now?
Perfectly. Excellent.
Good. I got these new headsets with a USB connection, and they've been horrible all day. My apologies. This is like the third call I've had problems. You know, I just wanted to say that I think it's good to clarify these discussions because, unlike some of the people in this group, I was not on the first working group. I've only been on the second. So I am a little confused about sort of what the direction is from the board versus what we're supposed to be looking at in the working group versus what the implementation is supposed to be in terms of how that will line up with any report that the group is going to issue. And I understand that the board has adopted some recommendations, and this is what we're here to implement, but to the extent that they overlap with issues we're looking at currently, like the sovereign immunity issue or anything else, that's where I get a little bit confused.
Okay, thank you, Lori. So I think what we'll try to do is to make sure the scope and potential interactions with other the other pieces that Mary described is clear at all times. So, we hope that we will make that clear. So, if this is still not clear to you, Lori, what we could do is have an exchange on the mailing list and make sure that this is clarified for everyone. Would that work for you?
That would work. And if you don't mind, I'd like to ask another substantive question. And that's regarding, I'm looking at the consolidated policy recommendations chart, and I see the issue about the GAC list. And I want, I'm not sure I understand, when we talk about a GAC list of acronyms, the GNSO, it looks like, has said there should be no protection at the top level, and then added into the TMCH at the second level. But then my question is this. My understanding is that the GAC is working on its own database, essentially, and the GAC is coming up with a formula for their own acronyms that they feel need to be protected. How does that work into our scope with the consolidated? I mean, is the presumption we would be looking to the database the GAC is creating, or are we being asked to come up with something else, or are these options we're supposed to consider?
So from the perspective of this implementation, at this very moment, we're pretty much considering everything that's read on this table as out of scope.
Okay.
So we're operating against the whatever the board adopted and no more. So this is why we have it here to make this distinction. It would only be once the board would adopt additional resolutions that we would then incorporate what would be adopted into the implementation. But given the fact that there is currently no timeline that's defined for this to be completed, we are moving forward with implementing whatever has been adopted to date. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right, unless there is any other questions or comments on this review of the various recommendations that are either adopted or still being reconciled, I suggest we move on. I'm not seeing any opposition to this idea. All right, so let's move on. And let me get back to our slides. So, and again, you will be able to find, so while the PDF is loading, you will be able to find this table on our community workspace that's linked here on the slide. So now in terms of deliverables, what we are planning and what we are currently working on is the following set of deliverables. So let me give you a quick overview of those deliverables. So first of all, we're working on a set of implementation procedures as suggested by the recommendations. So reservation and exception procedures at the top level, the same at the second level, and the particular 90-day claims implementation procedures at the second level as well. So those are our three implementation procedures. We're also working on consolidating the list of identifier labels to be protected through those mechanisms, through those procedures, as well as other prerequisites for implementation, and I'll get to that. So, for instance, we've been working on consolidating the list of identifiers to be protected as part of Scope 1 of the Red Cross and Red Crescent movement name. The same for the IOC, the same for Scope 1 of the IGO identifiers, the INGO identifiers, and with respect to the INGO identifiers, we also need to gather contact data for the implementation of the 90-day claims protection mechanism. And finally, eventually, we will also need to produce consensus policy language. And all these will need to go through public comments. So this is to give you an idea of the deliverables that we will be working against. And what you also see on this slide is a an idea of status of our work in each of these areas. So we're currently working on the procedures, which we hope to start sharing with you soon so that you can start reviewing those and provide your comments and input. With respect to the lists of identifier and other prerequisites, we have pretty much worked through the RCRC names, IOC names. Obviously, those are fairly simple. We are being challenged on the other lists of identifier for several reasons. The first one is that we're currently missing the information on the two languages that each IGO is entitled to get the protection of their name for. And with respect to the INGOs, we are not able right now to get a version of the list of identifiers that we can work through our systems. So those are some of the priority areas of work that we are working on to build those lists of identifiers that are actionable and that we can input into our policy implementation. Any questions on those deliverables? Any comments? I'm not seeing any hands raised. I'm not hearing anybody, so let's move on. In terms of timeline, this is our current assumptions. We, as you can see, top left of this chart, we will be we plan on working on drafting the implementation plan, so all these deliverables, all the way into early next year. And we expect that we would be regularly engaging with you, the IRT, to review and work on, to get your input and review of our various deliverables, as well as discuss any of the issues and challenges we're facing. Then we would move on to a public comment period where we would request input from the wider community on a plan that we would have developed and on which we would have obtained your reviews. This would lead us into, so this would be planned, this is currently planned for the March-April timeframe of next year. We would then work with you to finalize the implementation plan after early public comments to announce the policy effective date by mid-2016 for an actual policy effective date of January 2017. And this is synchronized with our regular policy implementation calendar that we have implemented, where we announce policy effective dates or dates when policies become effective every 6 months. So this is our current assumptions, and we will certainly be aiming for those and keep you updated on our ability to meet this timeline. Let me stop here for a few seconds if anybody would like to make comments or ask questions. Okay, I'm not hearing any comments, nor seeing any hands raised. So I will move on to our discussion of presentation of some of the issues we're facing right now, and some issues and challenges. So first of all, in relation to policy recommendations, one of the main open issues we have is around the perimeter of protection. You may be aware that the policy recommendation addresses identifiers, but does not specifically provide guidance or exhaustive lists of actual DNS labels that are actual domain names that those identifiers would be matched to. And the question here really is whether the actual protection should, what is the actual scope of the protection of one identifier? Should there be transliteration, for instance, of some names in some languages? Or should there be specific parameters or translation of given identifiers into several labels, considering dashes or no dashes, etc.? So this is one of the open questions on which we hope to gather your input and work with you to clarify as part of the implementation. Another open issue is going to be the potential impact of future recommendations that may be approved by the board. And this is in particular the case of the claims protection implementation. As you may recall, we will be working to implement a 90-day claims protection mechanism at the second level for INGO names. And as part of the current recommendations that are being reconciled with GAAP advice, there were considerations of potentially permanent claims protection. So we are seeing this, if it were to become an adopted recommendation, we see this as a potential impact on the way we would implement both the 90-day claims and the permanent claims mechanisms. So this is more of a timing issue because it will depend on when the outstanding recommendations are being reconciled and then adopted by the board. Are there any questions or comments on these two issues? Okay, I'm hearing none or seeing any hands raised. So as part of the other challenges we have, those are related to the actual implementation. And I mentioned quickly the two languages issues for the IGO names on the GAC list. And I also mentioned briefly the challenge we have with the INGO name identifiers and the contact data. We have identified the key partner with whom we need to work to gather this data, and we are being challenged to effectively engage with this organization. So as I mentioned earlier, this is one of our priority area of work. Are there any questions, comments? Okay, hearing none, moving on. In terms of next steps, our next meeting is likely to be an opportunity to have a face-to-face meeting during the next ICANN meeting in Dublin at the end of October. This still needs to be confirmed, but we are working on that, and we will let you know as soon as possible. And more generally, we would expect to meet regularly, potentially at a monthly pace, but this is again to be confirmed based on our ability to make progress. And the question here really is whether this time frame, and in particular Tuesdays at this time, are generally a good time on which we could rely for our next meeting. Would anybody like to comment? Is this convenient for everyone or inconvenient for some? I see that we have a check mark from Peter.
This is convenient for us.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Jim. And I see that Brian is typing. Okay, all right. So it seems to be a convenient time. So what I suggest we do is we rely on this time as our default potential time for meetings, and we certainly let you know well in advance when we would plan such a meeting. And again, we'll let you know as well for our next meeting in the next week or two, I would assume. once we receive a confirmation of the scheduling of our potential face-to-face meeting in Dublin, for which there would also surely be remote participation for those that would not be able to attend the meeting in Dublin. I see that this also works for Laurie. Excellent. Thank you very much for your feedback. And so in terms of next steps, I think it's important for us to kind of set the expectations so that you understand what how we hope that the IRT can contribute to our work. So as I showed on the timeline, over the next 10 months, we would hope that we can receive any applicable contributions from IRT members on our open issues, that you would be able to review our draft procedures and provide your comments, review the list of identifiers that we are assembling to make sure that we may not be missing some issues in the identifier. We would certainly, as part of the work of the IRT, expect that you contribute to reviewing the consensus policy language. And finally, that you process and address the responses we may get to public comments, to the public comment period that we will eventually organize in our policy implementation plan and policy language. So this is it for the next steps. I'd like to make sure to open it up for any comments or questions, and also specifically provide an opportunity for everyone on the IRT to kind of talk about their own expectations, prior experience they might have had with previous IRTs. Anything you'd like to share to make sure that our collaboration is effective would be very helpful. So please let me stop here, and please let us know, share your thoughts if you have any on those topics.
Hi, can you hear me? It's Lori.
Yes, we can hear you well.
Hi, I just think, and it probably doesn't need to be said, but maybe it does, because one of the things, this is my first IRT experience with ICANN. One of the things that I would really advocate for is trying to keep things as streamlined and elegant in terms of how we explain our conclusions to the rest of the community. I think what happens sometimes is that the recommendations of IRTs aren't as well understood as maybe they should be, and then they end up getting sort of diluted or torn apart by the rest of the community. And I'm hoping that we can find ways that if we articulate our positions as reasonable and as balanced and as compromised, perhaps there would be less controversy about whatever we end up do recommending.
Thank you, Lori. I think we certainly share your goal to of streamlined and elegant solutions, and we're really hoping that the solutions we will propose and on which we'll request your reviews, and eventually on which we hopefully agree to push to the community, will certainly not be controversial. That's certainly something we'll strive for, and we'll certainly welcome your assistance with. Are there any other comments, questions? And on staff side, would anybody like to share some remarks with respect to the topic or the collaboration between the implementation team and the review team? Okay, I hear none. So this looks like we're all aligned and looking forward to work starting and our collaboration to get going. So unless anybody would like to ask any question or address any topic, I suggest we adjourn the meeting for today and give ourselves those 10 minutes back. And we would be in touch very shortly for the scheduling of our next meeting. We hope to be sharing with you some draft deliverables as soon as possible. After this meeting, we will post this this presentation, as well as the transcripts and recording of our session, on our community works page. I will send a reminder when we do so, so that you all have the link. I will use the names to. So please feel free to use our workspace to refer to it when you need to. Please feel free to reach out to us on the main list. We hope that we have an efficient and effective collaboration, and we look forward to working with you. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for joining today, and we will be in touch very soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Fabio. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.